اللي رسايت سورة فاتحة فشهداء كربلاء.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين الذي سمي بالقرآن بالطه وياسين، والمزمل والمدثر أبي القاسم محمد. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الدائم الأبدية على أعداء مجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم وقرآن المجيد وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور، والذين كفروا أولياءهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات، أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات
الله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
الحمد لله، and all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are amongst the most virtuous people, that we are the lovers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. That Allah give us this opportunity to be the amongst the followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. And we had that privilege, most of us, that from the beginning, from the day we opened our eyes in this world, we opened our eyes in the laps of our mothers, those mothers who had Hubbul Quran wa Hubbu Ahlul Bayt, those mothers who had the love for Quran and love for Ahlul Bayt. In the laps of the mothers who remind us from the very first day that we should have that love of Ahlul Bayt and Quran. The day we were born, Azan and Iqama was been given in our ears, that the name of Allah should be the first word which a child should hear. And when our mothers used to go to the majalis, they used to take us over there. And that's why we have that harara, that feeling, that emotion, that linkage between us and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And we should be grateful and thankful to our parents that they taught us from our childhood and convey the hub and love of Quran and Ahlul Bayt and transfer and transform that love into our hearts and our minds. Now it is our responsibility to retain what we had from them, rather enlighten more and more day by day with the light and guidance of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. And not only that, we are also responsible to convey and transfer it to our children and their children. And not only to them, but the people around us, our neighbors, our friends, the society in which we are living. It's not that offering of salat, it's enough. If we are keeping ourselves, we are not eating haram food, we are not going to the places where it's food are haram and najis. Okay, those are duties. But is this the only Islam we are looking for? We should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gave us this opportunity that we learnt Quran in our childhood. Then it was our duty to maintain it, to retain it, to ponder on it, to learn more about it. Just like a child. When a child goes into a pre-schooling classes, Montessori system, whatever it is, playgroup and kindergartens, you name it. These children are being taught small poems, poetries. These children, they come to centers, they've been taught Surah of Quran. So when these kids of 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, when they come to us, they recite those surahs in front of us, that poetry is in front of us, we are happy. And we tell this thing to others. Even when we have gatherings like this, we give opportunity to the children to encourage them as well. They come over here, they recite those surahs very well, they perform over here, as we seen those performances in last night or night before, that how they perform, dramatize the event of Karbala. Beautiful. But if that kid who recited the surah at the age of 5 in this sort of gathering, if that child who has recited and read a poetry in the age of 5, 4, 5, 6, we will be glad to hear all these poetries. So smart, we will praise him, we will encourage that child. But the same child at the age of 15, again, if He recites only the same poetry and he doesn't know anything else. What we will say? What will be our comments? Are we going to praise that 15-year-old child that he is still over there, the same level of the kindergarten level, the Montessori level, and he has not been raised, he has not learned anything more other than those same poetries? You will say that his child is slow, he has weaknesses. You will say that we should take him to the doctors, consult with the specialist, okay? But if the same child who has recited surah at the age of 5, he recites the same surah and doesn't learn anything more from tafsir, from the understanding of Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt and Ahadith, we are not even concerned about it. We don't say that child is slow. We should be worried about that. We should be concerned about him, that why he has not learned anything more. He learned that surah at that age of 5. Now at the age of 15, still he doesn't know anything else other than that surah. We are not concerned. Because religion is never been that much concern for us in this materialistic world. As far as the child of 15 years is good in his school, bringing good grades, he's smart in school, maybe in sports and extracurricular activities, we are happy. We are not concerned whether he knows something more about religion, about offering of prayers, and about tafsir, about tariq, about the ethics and morals and values of Islam or not. We are not much concerned. And this is the point of concern for us. And should be the point of concern, that why we are not concerned. And this is the point where we should be concerned. Why we are so much ignorant? Why we are so much unconcerned? And sometimes we become reluctant even to talk about it. It is because our world view and vision of life is just like any other materialistic person. As that materialistic person perceive this life as this only materialistic and worldly life for 50, 60, 70, 80 years, we are practically following that ideology and that idea. If we had that faith and that insight into the world view and the vision of life which has been explained to us by Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we will be very much concerned about the life hereafter. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, last night we said that Imam Hussain's uprising, it wasn't that people were not offering prayers, they were offering prayers. It wasn't because the people were not observing fasting, they were being reciters of Quran. But what was missing? The Quran was there, Salat was there, Sawm was there, Zakat was there. But all these teachings were dead. The soul and spirit of these teachings were not in them. An imam wanted to make people aware. Look what these people, what these so-called leaders, Muslim leaders, are doing with you, that they are giving you Quran without its spirit. They are giving you Salat without its soul. If it has been with that soul, then why they were being fahsha and were munkarat over there? Quran says, "Inna salat tanha an al fahsha wal munkar wal baghi." Quran says that the impact and the result of offering of prayers is tanha an al fahsha. That is, keep you away from bad deeds. But we see in history. Oh, why I'm talking about our history, everything. Right now in our world, it's like that. We offer prayers, but when we deal with someone, whether it's financial dealing, it's family dealings, it's social dealings, we don't care that what Islam has said. We go with the worldly and materialistic standards and norms. Why? We just go and just condemn those things which has been done in history. Okay, that should be condemned. But what about ourselves, where we are, where we are standing? Where we are standing? We are condemning Muawiyah and Yazid and Banu Umayyah, Banu Abbas for the atrocities and taking out that soul and spirit from Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. Where we are standing? What we are doing? Haven't we able to, or we have able to strive to bring that soul into our salat? To bring that spirit into our zakat and our charity? To bring that spirit and that impact of salat into our daily life ethics in our family? When we deal with our spouse, when we deal with our children, how we deal with them, how children deal with their parents, is it as per the norms and ethics of Islam and Quran? No. Why not? Because we don't even know about it actually. We are not aware about it. Our children are not aware about it. Because we are happy that our children goes to school 5 days a week, 6 hours every day, 30 hours. Our children goes to school 30 hours in a week. And we are not ready to bring our children to centers even for 2 hours. And even if we are bringing them over here, how 2 hours teaching can encounter the 30 hours teachings which has been given in schools? There is no comparison. And that's why these 2 hours teachings in our madaris, in our makatib, in our centers, sometimes, not always, sometimes it becomes ritualistic, traditional. Because every other center has madrasa, every center has this Islamic school, so we should have. Or at least we should give something to our children. Okay, we cannot bring our children every day over here in center, once in a week. Okay, what about in our houses? Why can't we teach half an hour, something about Islam to our children? Okay, if we are not going to take that trouble to convey the Islamic and Quranic teachings to them, then what we can expect from them? It's just like a good computer. Yes, I was giving example. You have the finest computer, i7 or better than that. What do you think, what will be the outcome of that? The computer will give the same outcome according to the software which is being installed into that. If Quran is not in that computer, in that hard disk, it will not show Quran. Whatever you do, it will not show Quran. If it's Nahjul Balagha is not there, if it's Fiqh is not there, Articles of Islam is not there, been taught, its moral and ethics are not there, installed, computer will not show. This brain is computer. Whatever we will put into it, the same thing will reflect through our eyes, through our speech, through our hands, through our character, through our personality. If Quran is not there, we cannot expect from even ourselves, from our children, from our family, that Islamic norms and ethics will be reflected. It is impossible. Whatever we will do. The fourth Imam, Imam Sayyidu Sajideen, Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam. You know one thing which is very good in Pakistan. Whenever we feel tired a little bit by giving speech, there are so many salawat, so many slogans. Okay, so we get some time for 30 seconds, a minute to get that. But, well, it's different in the communities, and especially when we come over here in America, things come slow. Even those Pakistanis which over here, they become a little bit slower. Even we go in the Urdu majalis, you see, it's hard to ask them to recite even salawat. Kindly recite salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. What Imam said in one of the khutbahs which he used to give on every Friday, he said that in that khutbah, it's a long khutbah and sermon, he said, أول ما يسألانك أن ربك الذي كنت تعبد. When we will be put into our graves, so angels will come. Munkir wa Nakir will come over there. These two will start asking questions. No, there are two categories of papers over there, A and B. A paper is about the principles, the usul, that is the Tawheed, Nabuwat, Imamat, Qiyamat, these type of faith, things about related to faith. And the paper B is about our minor actions like offering of prayers, our fasting, our zakat, our homes, and so on. The first thing they will ask is about your Rabb. Then they will ask about your Prophet. Then they will ask about the Kitab. And we know that on that day, even in our qabr, in our graves, and on the day of judgment, even if we want to tell lies, we cannot. It will speak automatically, everything, it will be truth, whatever we have done. So now when they will ask, it's just my interpretations, just to understand it, it's nothing is written over there. Imam said that these angels will ask you about the Kitab. That what is your book? You will say, and then our kids will say, which book? Chemistry? Mathematics? I don't know, some comics? Or maybe Harry Potter? Because we have read, I know kids who has read Harry Potter, the first one, seven times. And he had memorized, I think. So kids are crazy, okay? So they are crazy because we are making them crazy, because we have given that opportunity to become that crazy. So when these angels will ask, we will be surprised at what book they are asking. What book? There are so many books we have read. Say, I'm not asking those books, I'm asking about the Book of Allah. Okay, Book of Allah, yes, maybe in the Ramadan we used to go and we used to recite few verses and that's it. Well, I don't know about it actually. What will be our reply? How we are going to be replying? Imam. Who is our Imam? We just offer prayer over here in congregation. Salatul Jama'ah. Okay, a person was leading, others were following him. Okay? So Imam is supposed to lead us and we who are behind are supposed to follow. If Imam goes in ruku, the people behind him will go in ruku, and when the Imam will go in sajda, the people will go in prostration. So if Ahlul Bayt are our Imams, so are we following their footsteps or not? Or we are asking them to follow our footsteps, that whatever deeds we perform, we say, O Imam, you must accept it because I perform that deed very sincerely. We force them to accept our good and bad deeds. And it should be exactly reversed, that we should see that what they want from us, where is that path which they are showing us, they want to take us. Imam Hussain's sacrifice was not to, that we, it wasn't for that, that we should cry for him and our all sins should be forgiven. Although there have been so many narrations that whosoever even will sit and cry in his hearts, not even by tears, even only in hearts, he will be forgiven. But what sort of cry? What sort of crying? There are two sort of cryings. There are two sort of tears. One is the tears like Hazrat Zainab, Hazrat Sakina, Hazrat Sajjad. They also cried. And there were people in the army of Yazid. Then when Hazrat Ali Asghar was being taken over there to get some water, what a group of people, a large number of people, army, they cried for Hazrat Ali Asghar. But what they did? Did they help him? Did they help Imam Hussain? No. So they also cried. These people in the camps of Imam Hussain, they also cried. But the crying, then tears, whose tears are valuable? Every tear is not valuable. The tear which comes out from our eyes in the love of Quran, in the love of Ahlul Bayt, and in the to follow that their footsteps, yes, that is valuable. But otherwise, that tear has no value. That tear has no value. So we have to be careful that our tears and our grief should have that value, that may Allah reward us with His pardon and forgiveness and give us tawfiq that we may able to enlighten our heart which is dark with sins with the light of Quran, with the light of Ahlul Bayt. Ali Rasul Salawat Muhammad wa Alihi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
The verses which in the beginning of my speech I'm reciting, which is the main and core and topic of these few majalis of this first ashra, what it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu يُخْرَجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلَمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. That Allah is the one that has the supremacy, wilaya. And what he do? The one who comes into his wilaya, يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلَمَاتِ. That Allah bring them out from ظُلَمَاتِ, from darkness, from jihala, from dhalala, and take them towards light, towards nur, towards prosperity. Not the prosperity which has been defined in the dictionaries. Prosperity means a person which is successful in all aspects in this world and hereafter as well. Because dictionary says, prosperity, the person who is successful in acquiring wealth. That's it. No. Prosperity from this, from various aspects a person should have. A person who have sufficient finances, a good family, respectful children, loving parents, good education, and so on. That person, we can say that person is successful. Maybe he doesn't have that millions and billions in his kitty, but that person is living with pride. And as per the teachings and norms and standards of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, and on the basis of his actions in this world, that person will be rewarded hereafter. Inna dunya mazra'atul akhirah. That this world is mazra'ah, is the field. Whatever we'll sow, we will get that in the hereafter. What really Islam is looking from us or asking from us, or what we can say Imam Hussein wanted, that change. It's not change in our some traditions, it should be change into our hearts, into our minds, into our attitudes, into our characters, and ultimately into our personalities. And just giving you one of the examples. Before that, these awliyaullah, the ones who have that wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah and his apostle and his divine leaders, what they do, they help people to come out of that disaster situation of dhulamat and darkness into light. In Surah Ibrahim, Quran says, Alif Lam Ra Kitabun Anzalnahu Ilayka Litukhrija An-Nasa Min Adh-Dhulamat Ila An-Nur. O Rasul, we have reveal these books to you. What to do? لِتُخْرَجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلَمَاتِ. First verse which I recited, Allah says that I am the one will bring you out of ظُلَمَاتِ and darkness. Now he is giving this responsibility, this divine responsibility to his prophet. And prophet has given this responsibility to his successors, that is Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
What is that? لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلَمَاتِ. That they will bring out, that you have the responsibility to bring out people from darkness to the nur, to the light, to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the divine responsibility of Ahlul Bayt. This was the divine responsibility of the Holy Prophet. And if we associate truly and purely to them, we should not be into darkness. We should be all in all in light. But when we see and analyze ourselves, we see that lots of part of ourselves, we are in darkness. The question comes, then does it mean that we are not truly and purely associated with Quran and Ahlul Bayt? Isn't it like that? We claim that we are the followers of Ahlul Bayt. But if we have been true and pure followers of Ahlul Bayt, we should not have even a dark spot on our character. If we have, that means we have to strive more and more. It's not that we are not on the right path. We are on the right path, but we are traveling slow, slow, slow. You know, when you go on the highways, there's a speed limit. Even you can't go slower than that. You have to go with that speed. You want to go slow, maybe take some other route. Because other cars, they are coming fast. Okay, everyone over here has his own track. That's something different. But just wanted to give the example that we should have that pace which may enable us to be into that category of the true and pure followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
One of those things which is now becoming a little bit weak in our culture, in our houses, as a norm into our society, a Muslim society especially. What is that? To care about others, caring about others. We say, no, we should mind our own business. What my neighbor is doing is nothing to do with me. What my friend is doing is nothing to do with me. What my brother is doing, my sister is doing, no. Even if I try something to do, they will say, mind your own business. Don't poke your nose into our issues. Okay? It's culturally we are being transferred. Why do you think that different countries welcome immigrants? Why? There are some economic factors, of course. But on the other hand, it's the cultural transformation. Religious transformations. Educational transformations. It's been said, not by me, by non-Muslim philosophers. What they said? If someone want to change a nation, they should change their educational system. That nation will be changed. You don't have to invade that country just infuse your philosophies and ideologies and your culture and your teachings into their education. And you can go and see around, like in countries like in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in African countries, like as far as I know, in Tanzania, in Kenya, many of the countries, you will find educational experts coming from West. What they are bringing? They are bringing good professional trainings, your approach of teaching. Okay, that's good. But besides all those professional trainings to our teachers, what they are doing, they are changing the values. They are changing the values. So after 20 years, 25 years, we will see the mindset of our children or maybe their children will be absolutely different from us. And they don't have to ask us that you should not wear hijab, do not offer salat, do not pay zakat or khums. No, they don't come and tell us like this. But after education of 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, we will see the same generation will not offer prayers, they will not offer salat, they will not pay their zakat and khums and so on. Is the change which can be bring into education. So one of the things which should be in our society, even if it's a small group, small community, we can start with that. We don't have to change the entire world. We can start it from our own society. Can you recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad? One of those things is the giving of charity, contribution in good deeds. In Surah Al-Hadid, it's been said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَانْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَحْلَفِينَ فِي. Give something, give infaq, give charity from what you have or what you have been made custodian of. That what we have as wealth in our hands, actually we are custodians of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, you have been custodian, now give something as a charity from that which I have given to you. In Surah An-Nur, verse number 33, Allah says, وَآتُوهُم مِّن مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. Give something to them from Allah's wealth. Which wealth Allah has given to you? Which wealth Allah has given to you? The wealth which we are earning, which our own, with our own intellect, with our own strength, we give, at times we wake up early in the morning. Sometime I have come across to the people who came out so early from the house that they offer prayers in their way or maybe when they reach the places. 14 hours they are working, 12 hours, 14 hours they are working so hard for their livelihood. But Allah says, whatever you are earning, it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever you have earned, give something from that wealth of mine to them. I gave you the example of that little hair of in the state of ihram that we cannot even break it. We can take it out from our body. Because it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever we earn, whatever we get in the form of wealth, it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so on. Then again, Allah says, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And in your wealth, there is a haq, there is a right. For whom? For the people who are in need. لِلسَّائِلِ, the people in need. وَالْمَحْرُومِ, you are underprivileged. It's not that it's optional for you to give them or not. No, they have right in your wealth. What you have earned, they have right, because that wealth is not your wealth. That wealth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is just asking us to be the custodian of that wealth. Now, what is it over here? I'm not exactly telling you or asking you about the charity. The point over is that Allah has encouraged, rather asked us, that we should be having that sense of caring in our society, that fulfilling the need of each other, coming to the help of each other. It's not just that it's going to happen that just like that. Allah, its impact, when the wealth come into the society, it has its impact into the society. And yes. In Surah Baqarah, verse number 261, Allah says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلَ اللَّهِ. The one who spend his amwal, his wealth, on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not going to be waste. Rather, it will multiply 700 folds. 700 folds. Or maybe Allah says, if Allah wants, Allah may increase that. Allah may increase that. We should have that sense. But what happened? We leave the wilaya of Allah. The people leave the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and goes into the wilaya of shaitan. What shaitan says to us? Shaitan says, in verse number, Surah Baqarah, verse number 268, Ash-shaytan ya'idukumul faqr. Shaitan says, oh, don't spend so much. If you give so much to others, maybe to build your new place. They haven't asked me to say something, but this, it just came into my mind. If you spend so much, if you give like $10,000, $50,000, what you were going to do? So shaitan will come in people's mind and say, Ash-shaytan ya'idukum al-faqr. He will scare you from becoming poor and becoming needy. Ya'amurukum bil-fahsha. And he will take you towards fahsha. Wallahu ya'idukum. But Allah has promised you. What Allah promised? Maghfiratan minhu. That Allah will give his forgiveness to you and Allah will give you more of what you have. If you spend something on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't think that you are losing. It's something you are investing. We are investing. So if you are giving and helping your brother, your sister, your cousin, your relative over here, back at home, to build a mosque, school, or any other good deed, any other thing, don't think it's a waste or it will bring faqr to you. No, it will. It's an investment. Kind of recite salawat Muhammad wa I know my time is almost over, but these nights are very important to learn the essence of Quran and the essence of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. From whom? From where? From Imam Hussein, from his companions, from his children, his brother, his nephews, and from this event of Karbala. Indeed, they have given such a sacrifice that history haven't seen something like that and will not see something like that. And that was that privilege was given to Imam Hussein, that every Nabi, every Prophet came to Karbala before the event and after the event. Hazrat Sulaiman was flying through Iraq. Suddenly, on the throne on which he was flying, start going around and around. It's not going forward. Then without his command, the command of Hazrat Sulaiman, it came down in the Karbala, in Karbala. And it was the place when Imam Hussein was been martyred. He asked that, why you have bring me over here? He said, this is the place called Karbala. This is the place where Hussein with his family and friends and companions will lay down their lives. He asked, who is Hussein? He said, Hussein is the grandson of the last Prophet Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. And at that time, it would be narrated that how he will be killed. Hazrat Sulaiman weep over there, grieved over there. If people have seen that, what happened on the night of Ashur, that is the night before the Ashura and on the day of Ashura, they have been surprised. And even when they, and the people with their pure heart and come to the event of Karbala and read and ponder on it, they are surprised at how Imam Hussein had companions and family members like this. And that's why Imam said that Allah has given me the best of companions and best of family members. When Imam Hussein gave the glad tidings of Shahada to all his companions in the night before Ashura, there was a kid standing in the corner and was crying. The tear was coming from his eyes. He was crying. Imam said, "Oh Qasim, why you are crying? Why?" He said, "You have given glad tidings to each and everyone except me. You haven't given me that bashara and glad tidings that I will also be martyred into Karbala." You know who was Qasim? Qasim was the beloved son of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Imam Hussein said, "Qasim, come close to me." Hazrat Qasim came close to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He grabbed him into his arms and said, "Qasim, before I give you answer to your question, just reply me and tell me, how do you feel? What you have that feeling about giving your life in Karbala?" Hazrat Qasim said, "Ahla min al-asal." Ahla min al-asal, that is, it's more sweet than honey. If it's been fought under your guidance, it's so sweet for me to die for you, for the sake of Islam. It's sweeter than honey. Imam Hussein hugged Hazrat Qasim and said, "Oh Qasim, don't worry. You will also get that privilege to have Shahada. And your brother, Abdullah Radhi, that is Ali Asghar, will also have that privilege." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Qasim smiled. He smiled that Imam Hussein has given him this glad tiding. The day of Ashura came. One by one, the companions gave their lives. Habib ibn Mazahir, Zuhair ibn Qain, Hur ibn Riyahi, Joan, and so many companions, one after another, they gave their lives. And when the times came to for the family members, Hazrat Qasim came to Imam Hussein. He said, "Oh uncle, last night you promised me that you will give me the permission to go into the battlefield." He said, "Oh Qasim, you are the beloved son of my brother. You are the only son of my brother. How I can allow you to go in battlefield and lay your life?" Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Qasim started crying, went back to his mother and said and complained that uncle, that Imam Hussein is not giving me permission to go into battlefield. Hazrat Qasim was given a note which was written by Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Hazrat Qasim's mother say, "Take this note to your uncle, to Imam Hussein, and tell him that this note was written by his brother Imam Hassan." When Hazrat Qasim alayhi salam took this note to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hussein took that note, he put on his eyes and kissed that note. Allahu Akbar. When he opened it, it was written, "Oh my brother Hussein, I know in Karbala you will be alone. I will not be there, but my son will be there. Accept my son in place of me and accept his sacrifice in place of me." Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein hugged Hazrat Qasim. They cried so much that they fainted. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then Hazrat Abbas was been asked, like, bring his clothes and bring him and wear him, give him the sword of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. Then Imam Hassan's son was been asked and helped to ride on the horse. He was so small. He was just 13 years of age. Hazrat Abbas helped him to ride on the horse, on the back of the horse. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Qasim went into the field. People start looking that, "Who is that kid? Who is that kid? Oh, it's just a kid. Nothing doing with it." Amr ibn Sa'd sent people just like that. "Go and finish his work. Go and kill him." Allahu Akbar. But they have forgotten that this kid is not a normal kid. This kid is the grandson of Ali. That kid, Hazrat Qasim, is the son of Imam Hassan. That kid has the blood of Imam Ali in his blood. He is, although he is only 13 years, but he is a brave kid. And he fought bravely. He killed more than 40 people. Allah Allahu Akbar. When Amr ibn Sa'd saw that he is not any other kid, he sent an army, a battalion, to go and kill him. And then Imam Hussein could not see him. Allahu Akbar. Just he said the cry of Hazrat Qasim. Hazrat Qasim came from the back of his horse on the Karbala, all sense of Karbala, and said, "Oh my uncle, help me! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Why? But what happened? Hazrat Qasim was been trampled under the feet of horses. Allahu Akbar! Imam Hussein alayhi salam came to him and said, "Oh Qasim, your uncle is sorry for you that he came late." Hazrat Qasim, Imam Hussein took Hazrat Qasim into his lips and drank him into an hands and took his body to the camps. Allahu Akbar. When the body of Qasim was being taken into the camp, and there was been nida, wa Muhammada, wa Aliya, wa Fatima, wa As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati hallan bifinaik alayka minni salamu allahi abada ma baqitu wa baqiya al-layl wa al-nahar ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين اللهم اللهم أني أسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم العظيم العازل جل الأكرم ودم مقتول بكربلاء يا الله 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 ربنا تقبل منا هذا القليل او الله accept this brief gathering and majlis بحق الحسين او الله reward us for that او الله enlighten our dark hearts and minds with the light of Quran and light of Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam او الله give us tawfiq to be amongst the true followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam او الله give us tawfiq to be the true and pure followers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to follow the footsteps of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to educate our children like Hazrat Qasim alayhi salam. Oh Allah, hasten the reappearance of Imam al-Asr ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja sharif, and give us the tawfiq to be amongst his true and pure followers. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma kulli waliyyi كان حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل الساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا.